Take your Bibles and turn back again to Psalm 23. For the last 2 weeks, we've covered verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The first week, last week, we looked at I shall not want. Someone asked, how in the world can you get an entire sermon out of just four words? And it is an extraordinary thing. I had two or three sermons I could have brought out of those four words, and I had to force myself to keep it short and just do it in 1 week. God's word is endless. It is so rich and so full that we could never cover it all in a lifetime. And today we come to the first part of verse 2 of Psalm 23, and we're going to look at that together. I hope this will be a real encouragement to you. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Last week we looked at contentment, I shall not want. And what follows a person who is truly contented is what comes in the next phrase in the first part of verse 2, and that is rest. Rest. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We want to talk about when sheep lie down. I don't have to tell you that we live in a crazy, fast-paced world where all of our technology is designed to help us cook faster, communicate faster, travel faster. And yet, let me ask you something. Do we have more time to rest today because of all that? If you do, I'd like to talk to you afterwards. As a matter of fact, in 1994, there was a Gallup poll done among Americans, and 72%, this is amazing that you could get 72% of Americans to agree on anything. 72% of Americans who were polled in 94 believed that within the next decade, they would have to work fewer hours and would have more time to relax as a result of all the modern technological advances that were going to take place. Missed that one just a little bit. As a society, we are constantly on the go, constantly driven from one thing to the next. And as a people, even a people of God, we tend to be exhausted, constantly rushing from one thing to the next. And when our bodies and our spirits scream at us and tell us that we're tired and we need to take a rest, we tend to ignore it and say that's for wimps. And instead of resting, we pull into a Starbucks and get one of their giant, big, super duper coffees, and we gulp that down, and that gives us some energy to keep on going. Because we're a people who are not at rest. Nothing wrong with Starbucks, by the way. I take my daughter there every once in a while when we can afford it, you know, for a special little date, and we go to Starbucks and spend like $30 on two cups of coffee, and it's a good thing. It amazes me, as expensive as that stuff is, how they can open between 4 and 5 new Starbucks every day around the world. How does that work? And what's the deal with their small being called a tall? That just really bothers the fire out of me. You know what I'm talking about? It's not small, medium, and large. It's, what is it? It's tall, grande, and what's the?
Verde.
Vente? What is that? We know it's a small. Don't call it a tall. It's a... I order a small when I'm in there. I refuse to order a tall. I'm sorry. It's a small. We all know it is. Let's get over it. Lack of rest in our lives is a very dangerous thing, not only for our bodies, but for our spirits. God designed rest into the whole system. We see that starting in Genesis 2. Rest is supposed to be part of our lives, and yet it's something that seems to elude us for the most part, and it is a very dangerous thing. Even in the animal world, you know, we're looking at sheep here in Psalm 23. If animals, especially sheep, are driven too hard, too fast, for too long, they will become very weak, they will become sick, and some of them will die if they're driven too hard without rest. Genesis 33:13 shows us that. It says, if the flocks are driven too hard, they will die. And as people, you know, we may think that we're accomplishing more by always being on the go, never taking time to lie down and rest physically or especially spiritually. We're not accomplishing more. We're going to reach a point sooner or later where our output begins to be minimized greatly, and we will become very ineffective for the Lord. Philip Keller, in this great book we've been looking at in this series of Psalm 23, says that it is almost impossible to get sheep to lie down. It's very interesting. And by the way, can I just remind us that as we're looking at sheep in Psalm 23, we're really not talking about sheep. The focus of these messages is not so we can learn more about sheepology or whatever they call it. You know, it's to point us to something deeper than that, that we can apply to our lives. Jesus used this constantly in his teachings. When he talked about a lost coin, the point of his story was not the coin. It was the lost person he was talking about. When he talked about a field of wheat being ready for harvest, he was not talking about wheat. He was talking about people's lives. And so as we talk about sheep in Psalm 23 over the next, you know, however many weeks, we're talking about sheep, but we're really not talking about sheep. We're talking about us. And that's important. It's interesting, with that in mind, that a man who spent much of his life as a shepherd said it is almost impossible to get sheep to lie down. He said that sheep will not lie down unless four requirements are met in their life. And that's what I want us to look at this morning in our time together. He said sheep will not lie down unless, number one, they are free from all fear. Now, as we go through this list, I'm going to give you an overview and then we'll go through each of them. You think about your life. Sheep will not lie down unless they are free from all fear. Number two, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others in the flock. Number three, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from pests and parasites. And number four, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from hunger. Let's look at these individually just briefly this morning. Number one, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from all fear. I told you our first week in this look at Psalm 23 that sheep are defenseless animals. They have no defense system whatsoever. And as a result, sheep are terrified animals. They live their lives in fear. As a matter of fact, most shepherds will tell you that sheep live their lives like a spring that has been compressed and pushed down and has a little tiny hair trigger holding it in place. The slightest thing causes those sheep just to explode in fear and go off the deep end. Keller says in his book that one day on his ranch, some visitors came, and when they pulled up in their car, you know, city slickers who didn't know a thing about sheep like you and me, they pulled up to this ranch, and there were these hundreds of sheep there. And when they got out of the car, they had brought with them their little tiny Pekingese. They opened the door, and this Pekingese jumped out, and the sheep scattered in terror. You know, imagine a 100-pound sheep being scared of a little 4-ounce Pekingese or however much they weigh. And he said that about 200 of his sheep just stampeded off into the wild in total terror of this little dog. He said that often he's seen, when he's been out in the fields with his sheep, a rabbit jump out from behind a bush. Only one sheep saw the rabbit. And that sheep became so fearful that he started running through the flock going, ah, or whatever sheep do, jumping and kicking his legs. And all the other sheep said, run away, you know, something's scaring us, let's run. And they would just all bolt. And he said it would be hours before he could bring them back. Because one sheep was filled with fear and it infected the whole flock. He says something else very interesting about that. I want you to listen to this. Quote, nothing so quieted and reassured my sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. End quote. Isn't that amazing? As Christians, as sheep in the Lord's flock, when fear comes into our life, nothing, there is nothing that will calm us more quickly than knowing that the shepherd is nearby. No books we can read, no courses we can take, nothing will calm us more than knowing that the Lord's presence is there. His presence alone dispels the fear and the panic and the chaos. I remember when our family, this was many, many years ago when I was a little tyke, we were traveling through the Middle East. We were in one of the cities there in a traffic jam and saw a very unusual sight. Here it was surrounded by concrete and steel and honking horns. And all of a sudden, right through downtown comes this shepherd with his sheep. Very strange, out-of-place sight. The sounds of the traffic and the horns had the sheep terrified. He had a very small flock, maybe a dozen or so. And it was amazing to see what the sheep did when surrounded by this scary environment and they didn't know what to do. The shepherd was sort of walking backwards like this, watching his way, and he was looking at the sheep, and they were following him. And the sheep were fighting each other to get as close to the shepherd as they could. As a matter of fact, some of the sheep were climbing up onto the backs of other sheep so that they could look into the shepherd's face and get as close to him as possible. Because doing so caused all of the other noise and fear to melt away. Someone once said that probably the only reason God created sheep was so we could learn about ourselves. I don't know if that's true, but there are some amazing lessons to learn from dumb old sheep. The shepherd's presence calms us. Psalm 56:3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in my intellect." Is that what it says? What time I am afraid, I will trust in my friends. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in my health. I will trust in my job. I will trust in my finances. No. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I remember seeing this in a very clear way. Last year when my mother, who has always been as strong as an ox, I mean, she just is a tough lady who works nonstop, just a very incredible, powerful woman physically. My dad is crippled, so she's had to sort of carry the weight, you know, of so many things. Always healthy, always on the go. And I remember the rainy April morning last year when our phone rang in the wee hours of the dark morning. And it was my dad saying that my mom had just had a stroke. And they were rushing her. My dad and mom were out of town. My dad was preaching, and this had happened there. And they were rushing her to the Floyd Medical Center in Rome, Georgia. And we jumped in the car. We made the trip down there and walked in, went to the ICU waiting room. And I didn't know any of the details yet. I didn't know how bad it was. And already when we got there, The waiting room was packed with people who had come to pray with the family. And I remember getting down beside my dad's wheelchair, and I said, "Dad, tell me straight. What's going on? Don't sugarcoat it." And he said, "Well, son, your mom has had an aneurysm, and the first hospital that they took her to was not equipped to deal with it, so they had to bring her up to this one quite a distance away. And during that time, she's had a massive stroke. And they're going to have to," I remember my dad is always, you know, big on just laying it out there. He said, they're going to have to go in shortly and cut half of her skull open and do brain surgery to save her life. I just went, "What? They're going to do what?" I mean, I was thinking they were going to say, you know, they're going to take her through some rehab or physical therapy or whatever, but to hear that, it was like a load of bricks being dropped on me. I said, this can't be right. I saw her 2 days ago working in the garden. No, that's what they're going to do. Here's what we did. That news brought with it tremendous fear. We said, "Let's pray." And in this packed waiting room, with lots of other people there who were not there for us, my dad asked me to pray. And we got down, and we called on the Lord. And I prayed out loud. And I said, "God, if this is the time that mom needs to go home, please take her home. Don't let her stay here and live the rest of her life, not even knowing who she is or where she is." I said, "Lord, take her home right now, if that's what you want." But I said, "Lord, if not, we're calling on you to do a miracle. Restore her life, restore her health, give her many more years to serve you." You know what happened in that moment? There was a peace that flooded that waiting room that was so real. We opened our eyes, we looked at each other, and you could tell in the countenances of the people that the fear was gone. It was gone. There was peace that had come, all because we had called upon the shepherd. Called upon the shepherd. Fear is one of those things that will keep God's people from lying down in rest. Psalm 4:8 says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Sheep will not lie down unless they're free from fear. Number two, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others in the flock. You have all seen this on animal programs on TV, no doubt, that the bigger, tougher, stronger animals always push their weight around. They push the younger ones out of the way so they can get to the food. They bully them. Humans don't do that. But of course, animals do. You know, humans disguise it. Animals are just out there with it. They don't care who's watching. They'll shove somebody out of the way. Humans try to do it in more subtle, diplomatic ways. Keller says that he has seen hundreds of times while tending his flock, a large sheep, usually he says it's a ewe, so it's the women doing this. That's what he said, I'm just quoting him. He says he has seen hundreds of times, the flock will be out there grazing, and this big old ewe will stiffen her legs, and she'll start walking like Frankenstein towards a little sheep. And her eyes will be real big, and she'll just stare at that thing and then charge and just butt it with her head. Boom! And knock the thing out of the way. So that she can have that spot. Hundreds of acres, but she wants that spot. Like two little kids with a toy, a room full of toys, but they want that toy. And he says that what happens every single time this takes place is there is an unrest that spreads throughout the whole flock. And when sheep are fighting each other, when there's unrest, he says, sheep will not lie down. They will not. I don't have to tell you that churches are not immune from this sort of foolishness, where people are butting heads against each other, where there's conflict, where there's jealousy and tension, rivalry and fighting, even in the church, the body of Christ. This sort of thing goes on. May I quote from him one more time along the same lines? When he's talking about sheep being restless and fighting, he says, one point that always interested me very much was that whenever I came into view and my presence attracted their attention, the sheep quickly forgot about their foolish rivalries and stopped their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in their behavior. You want to know why fightings and foolishness goes on in some churches? You say, well, it's because Satan's attacking them. Nope. There are churches that are under heavy attacks from Satan, and that church is as strong and close and unified as any church in town. Well, it's because they don't have enough money to finish their building program. Nope. Churches can be broke and be as united and powerful as any church around. You want to know why churches bicker and fight and squabble? It's because they do not have their eyes on the shepherd. Period. That's it. The moment that you and I, as people of God, take our eyes off of the shepherd, we are going to begin to put our eyes on ourselves and on other people. And that's when the problems start. Pride begins to creep in. We start wanting things done our way. We're never happy with anything. Conflict set in, and I want to tell you, it destroys the harmony in a church. Where there is friction in the flock, the people of God cannot rest. Can I just take a quick moment and say a word of reminder here? Because I don't ever want us to forget this. Do you guys realize how blessed we are in this church? That we're not caught up in foolishness and bickering and squabbling and fighting. Folks, I'm telling you, it goes on in churches. I've seen it firsthand. No doubt you have. This is an incredible little body of believers here. Many of you who travel for work, or if you're gone on vacation and you visit another church while you're out of town, person after person says this to me. They come back and they go, I am so glad to be back at Life. I'm so glad to be back here. There's just something about this place. This is an incredible place. I hear that from so many people. I believe, folks, that it's not only because I'm an incredible, powerful speaker, but it's but what? Sorry, I'm just trying to make sure you're still awake. I know it's a rainy day. I believe it's because we're keeping our eyes on the shepherd in this church. I want to brag on the leadership of this church again. I've told you this many times. I'm going to keep telling you. I have never in my life worked with a group of men, either in a church or in the business world, a group of men who so desire for Christ to be the one who is seen and not themselves. There's no rivalry in this leadership. None. Nobody is elbowing and shoving and trying to push their way to the top. Not one of them. Not a single one. And it's an amazing thing. There was a church just a few years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago. I won't say where it was, but it was in another city close to here, about 30 miles from here. This church was in a business meeting that turned into a squabble, that turned into a fist fight. I'm talking about an evangelical church who's supposed to know better. People were diving over the pews, punching others. The police had to be called to break it up. Y'all want to visit there next week? Man, that sounds like an exciting place. The police were called in to the church. And the unsaved world looks on and shakes its head and says, uh-huh, yeah, that's what I thought. Friction within the flock. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. You know why I chose John 3:30 as our church verse for last year? I mean, it's kind of a weird verse, John 3:30. It's because this principle is, I believe, as fundamental as you can get in a church. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must become greater, I must become less. Folks, if that is our goal in life, if that is our mission in life, for him to be greater and me to be less, we will never have to worry about friction in this flock. Sheep will not lie down unless they're free from all fear, unless they're free from all friction with others in the flock. Number three, they will not lie down unless they are free from pests and parasites. Sheep owners will tell you that especially during the summer months, sheep can be driven almost to the point of insanity by flies and ticks and other insects. It is impossible for sheep to lie down when they are bothered and pestered by insects. Sheep will literally stand in the field and shake their head up and down for hours until they collapse from exhaustion to try to get the bugs away from them. There is one particular fly in certain parts of the world, in Middle Eastern countries and other places, called the nasal fly. This is great. This is really going to be exciting to talk about. But this nasal fly is looking for moisture, and they fly up the nose of the sheep and they lay their eggs in there. What time are we eating? And if they are successful in doing that, the eggs will hatch and the little worm larva will come out and they will go up and bury themselves into the flesh of the sheep inside his head, drive the sheep insane. Keller has said he has seen on a few occasions in his flock where this has happened and he hasn't been able to catch it soon enough. Listen, a sheep will literally stand next to a rock or a tree or a fence post and bang its head against it, trying to get rid of what's going on inside of it until the sheep kills itself. Shepherd must be diligent in caring for his flock and making sure that they do not become infested with pests or parasites. In these modern times, shepherds have all kinds of insect repellents and special dips that they put the sheep in to take care of these problems. Back in the Bible days, they used what? Does anybody know? Oil. This is so great. The Bible is so accurate to what it speaks of. It's just incredible. They used oil. And what they would do is they would pour oil all over the head of the sheep and they would rub it in everywhere on the sheep and then they would send that sheep off. And the sheep would skip through the fields, he says, and would be just as lighthearted and merry and happy once that oil was put on his head because he knew that that oil would keep the pests away. They wouldn't come near it. Verse 5 in this psalm has a very odd phrase to us in 2006. It says, thou anointest my head with oil. I mean, here's the sheep talking about his shepherd and praising all the good things that the shepherd does for him. And right in the middle of it, he says, you anoint my head with oil. And we're going, do what now? And that's a good thing because, yeah, it's a great thing. When these pests come, when the flies come, the shepherd anoints his sheep with oil, and they are now free from being pestered and bothered by these insects. Even as humans, we use the phrase, that really bugs me. You ever thought about that? You know where that comes from? I'm really bugged about that. It's here. It's this picture right here of animals being bugged by bugs, and they go crazy with it. It's that expression that has crept into our vernacular. That really bugs me. Sheep are not the only ones who suffer from this. Humans have all kinds of irritations and annoyances in life, all kinds. It's interesting to me that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is compared to oil many times. How often, as Christians, do things come into our life that irritate us, that annoy us? Maybe it's circumstances, maybe it's people. And we just tend to go crazy sometimes. And you know what, folks? If we allow those pests to burrow into us and lay their eggs in us, so to speak, we will go crazy trying to deal with that. I can tell you, I know this has happened to you, and it's happened to me, where there's been a person who's done something hateful or said something hateful, and I mean, I have, instead of going to the shepherd and saying, Lord, would you anoint my head with oil, put your soothing comfort on me and get this off of me, I have let that thing burrow deep inside of me, and it has festered and it has grown, and I've carried that grudge with me for weeks sometimes. I apologize. I'm being honest with you. I hope that's okay. And I have let that thing get inside of me and burrow inside of me until it has driven me mad. But I want to tell you, as soon as I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I cannot take this anymore. Please help. Please help. And the Lord comes, and by His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He's called, anoints my head with oil, so to speak, and cleanses all that mess out of my mind. There is instant relief. Instant relief. Is the problem better? No, it's still there. I just don't care about it anymore. I don't stay up at night anymore grinding my teeth over it, because I have allowed the oil of the Holy Spirit to wash over me and to cleanse me. Folks, we need to move on, but I'm telling you from personal experience, as your friend, as your pastor, if we allow the things in life that bug us, the people, the situations, whatever, to burrow deep inside of us before going to the shepherd, we are going to have major unrest in our life. Number four, finally, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from hunger. They'll not lie down unless they're free from hunger. Notice verse 2 says, He maketh me to lie down where? In green pastures. Many of the great sheep countries of the world are located in very dry, very arid parts of the world. The Middle East, parts of Africa, Australia, where there's lots of sheep farming going on. These are very dry places. The reason is most breeds of sheep flourish in those dry conditions because there's less chance for them to get infections and illnesses. The problem is that in those regions of the world, it's not natural or normal to find green pastures. You just don't see it. Palestine, near Bethlehem, where David lived when he was raising his father's sheep, he wrote this psalm, and it's amazing considering the terrain there. I've been there. He said, He maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures? You look around, you don't see too many green pastures. In fact, here are some photos. Take a look at these. Well, you may not be able to see them too well. Right outside of Bethlehem, there's a shepherd and his sheep. Check out that lush green grass. Woo, that's some good eating there, huh? No, it's all brown and dry. Here's another one. They build these little rock walls to kind of fence their sheep in. No grass at all, just little sprouts here and there. Love this picture on the hillside. Just brown as far as you can see. That shepherd with his sheep. The thing is, green pastures do not happen by chance in these parts of the world. They only happen because of the tremendous labor and diligent care of the shepherd. A shepherd who cares for his sheep will take a plot of land and he'll clear that land of rocks and shrubs and stumps. He'll plow up the earth. He'll plant just the right kind of seed. He'll irrigate the land in order to provide pasture and grazing land for his sheep. In fact, they'll usually do more than one so they can rotate the sheep from one place to the next. Even we in our lives as Christians are often surrounded by dry, barren land in life. But we need to remember that our shepherd, who cares for us so much, provides lush, rich, green pasture for us to feed on and for us to rest in. I think of God's word whenever I read that phrase in Psalm 23:2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God's word is so rich, as we were saying at the beginning, and so full and so fresh that if we will just feed upon it, the hunger of our souls will be nourished. How many times in your life has your soul just seemed so dry and so hungry? And you hear God's word preached on the radio, on television, here, somewhere else. And as soon as God's word begins coming into your ears and into your heart, what happens? There is a nourishment that takes place. And you sit there just feeding on it going, wow, this is exactly what I need. It's exactly what I need. It's one of the dangers of straying away from the flock as a Christian. Keller says that he provided what he felt were some of the best grazing lands that any sheep in his area had. And yet, he said, as we looked at last week, I think, there were some of his sheep, even though they had been given the best grazing land, they would still find holes in the fence and break their way through to get out and go and feed on dried up, burned up grass. It's crazy. Why? Because they're restless and they just want to get away and do their own thing. Listen, guys, I want to tell you, here's some bad news. Once you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and you're His child, and you've tasted His contentment, you've tasted the richness of who He is, the bad news is you will never again, ever be satisfied with anything less. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to save you some trouble. You can run from God, you can do your own thing, you will never be satisfied, you will never be at rest anywhere else but with the shepherd. Never, ever. It's only with Him, it's only through His word that we are nourished. Psalm 119, 28 says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Later on in verse 50, he says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has given me life. Jeremiah 15, 16, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the rejoicing of my heart. David says that even though surrounded by barren, dry, burned up land, even though as a sheep I'm a very fearful creature, even though there are pests and parasites that are constantly ready to bug me and irritate me, even though there may be friction in the flock, and even though I get hungry at times, The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I wonder if there's anybody here today who would say, you know, Phil, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, but I have not been at rest. One of these four things that you pointed out this morning has absolutely pinpointed it in my life as to why I'm not at rest with the shepherd. You can find rest today. You don't have to go through any kind of special steps. There's no mantra you have to chant. There's no books you have to read. You know what it all comes down to? All of these four things that we talked about today all hinge upon the sheep's closeness to the shepherd. When a sheep wanders away, he's not going to get these four needs met in his life, and he won't be able to rest. Maybe you're here and you just go, man, my life is just filled with unrest. And I want to find that rest again. You can do that today. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Father, we have tried to hurry through this section this morning. I pray that enough good seed has been scattered that it will find good soil where it can sink down into people's hearts and take root and grow and bring forth good fruit in their life. Lord, we are a people by nature who do not rest well in our spirits. We're troubled, we're hurried, we're bothered, we're stubborn. And yet, Lord, you've shown us so clearly that just by being with you, by being in your presence, you give us everything that we need to lie down and rest. I pray, Father, if there's anybody here today whose life is just characterized by unrest, I pray that in you this morning they will find rest for their souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.